So I pulled Innocence. And this is, I think, a beautiful card.
Pretty.
For everyone, give us your feelings of heaviness so we can lighten your load. Give us any guilt, anger, or blame that may shroud your loving outlook. Enjoy the peace within your heart once more. So everyone is guiltless in truth at their core. So it's like, this is what this class is really about, is reconnecting to a sense of our innocence that we aren't having to prove ourselves, or the striving and the trying and the fighting. It's like that just kills our innocence. We retreat to these little parts of our bodies. And we're going to talk about that today too. It's like, that's a beautiful energy, because also as we step into this, we're going to have stuff come up. We're going to be aware of things that were there before. This class isn't creating it. It's revealing what needs to be looked at. And that's why I encourage everyone to share in the Facebook group. And a lot of you have, which is great. It's like, what's going on? What's revealing itself? How are you doing? What are your breakthroughs? And it's again, a microcosm for you to take away these 5 weeks and bring it into your life, because you're anchoring it and anchoring it and anchoring it. And a common activity I have people do when they work one-on-one with me is to do an evidence journal. And everyone's like, I don't want it, like all this journaling, but you know, it really works. All you have to do is write like two things. Like the evidence would be, you know, Layla would write, I knew something was wrong and I spoke on it, and then it felt better. And that's evidence that my inner knowing knows. And then you build a new relationship to reality that's in alignment with reality instead of this fragmented, crazy pants world that we have tried to fit ourselves into in society and in this mind dominant, masculine dominant, talking about Trump. I mean, it's an interesting thing for him to just reveal all this stuff about the unconscious masculine. And really all that means is just parts of that we need to bring to our awareness. Again, neutral data. Oh, interesting. Look what's happening here is much more spiritual than emotional ups and downs. Most people think they're sensitive, they're emotional, and that makes them spiritual. It's like, actually, spirit's very neutral. It's like you could steal that candy bar and spirit's like, oh, interesting. That's interesting that you're doing that. It's like, you're not a bad person, but what you will feel is in your body, you will feel this feeling, and that's the guilt feeling, a sensation to indicate you are out of alignment with natural law, the natural law of give and take. So it isn't that you're a bad person. It's like, that's not in alignment with natural law. It's not gonna go well for you. So that's some random information that just came from there. But we're gonna go to the presentation. You know, that's kind of how I work. So this is the body module, and as much as there's slides, they're just meant to keep me on track. I think when I did the mind one, it was kind of cool for people to even watch my own mind interacting as a teaching, and how we can want things to go a certain way and narrow-mindedly look at something when in reality it's like, okay, how can I pull back and just say what I know? So it's that balance of structure and flow, which another person reflected to me. She said, I really loved watching you deal with certain things and seeing through how you dealt with them. I gave myself more permission to be less of a perfectionist, which is awesome. I didn't plan that. It just came naturally. It's okay. Share screen, slides, bam. There we go. All right. It's funny, Layla, for some reason I have you on the main thing, chewing away. It's really cute. Okay. Put you over here. Okay, I am just going to keep this open this way, because I know what the next slide is. So we know that we're doing this. And then here we say the bridge between earth and spirit. So in this next slide here, we can either embrace our body or resist. We can choose. Let go of body judgment. The media brainwashes us with. So I just kind of had to get that part out of the way. I was doing these slides and I kind of jumped ahead of the game and started talking about the body, sensations, symptoms, subconscious mind. And I was just like, whoa, wait a second. Most people are like, I hate my body. It has pain. I hate it. It doesn't look the way I want it to look. Like, I think that's most people's starting point with body. And so I want to do a quick clearing of that. Interesting. So yeah, actually clearing of body judgments. Okay. We're going to make something up right now. I want you all to put in a bubble. Remember the different files and everything, but I want you to imagine a bubble, okay, right above your head. And it's like a thought bubble. And what I want you to do is put all of your body judgments, the things that you just don't like about your body, the things that when you think about your body keep you from really having connection with its magnificence, the stories, the judgments, the hang-ups. We're all going to put it in this bubble to the side or above in this thought bubble. Okay, and everyone take a deep breath down to the base of your pelvis. Deep breath. I want you to blow out like you're blowing out birthday candles. And we're going to keep breathing, and I want everyone's bubble to float up into the sky. And it's like you're blowing out a big birthday cake of candles. And I just saw the three little pigs too. It's like, and you're just blowing it. And I actually just already felt this space get created for that to just be acknowledged and let go. And when we let go up into the air, just like when we do a fire, some people are new to like sacred work and everything, and I was too, but I remember a shaman in Peru was like, the smoke goes up to be transmuted by spirit. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. And I really got why we do fires and candles and the offering that just goes up. So without any judgments of those judgments, we're just letting them go. And you can pick them back up when we're done if you really like your body judgments. So I thought this was a cute picture of how most of us have a strained relationship with our body, as we just were saying. So I just wanted to do that clearing, but now we're going to step into a body scan. And all of these tools work together. So the body scan is just simply bringing your attention to your body. That is it. There is no special way to do this. You just start. So we're going to do it together. I'm going to talk you guys all through a body scan. So it's a good time of day to do something like this. To just, again, remember your mind module. If a pop-up thought file comes up, just bring yourself back to your body. If you really do need to remember something, write it down beside you and then get back to your body. And just give yourself permission to not need to know and to just start to follow the instructions that I'm doing, but also manage that frantic, oh my God, am I doing it right? That we kind of get from the school system of needing to do something right even before you've done it. So just let yourself have that childlike willingness and openness to do something without so much noise in your head and so much judgment and expectations. Okay. So breathing and feeling your breath. Most of us live in our heads, And we need to for the world we live in as well. And they're very handy. So when we first do a body scan, just relaxing the forehead, relaxing the back of the neck, relaxing the jaw, relaxing all the little muscles around the eyes. And then feeling the breath. Again, no special way to breathe. As we connect to our body, it will connect to the best breath for you. We're tuning in to this trust again. We're rehabilitating our relationship with our body through this class. And as you breathe, bring your attention down to feel your shoulders. Some people are visual, so they might see their shoulders. I'm kinesthetic, so I can feel them there. You know, I'm feeling them there. Maybe sometimes you might want to just touch your shoulder and just be like, okay, feeling my shoulder, feeling my shoulders. And allowing the breath to breathe for you. Feeling down your arms. Feeling your arms. Letting yourself breathe. Relax your mind. Feel your arms. Feel your hands and just kind of move your hands around and notice that your hands are moving and you're moving them. This cool intermingling of sensation and thinking. And just notice. Have compassion for any self-talk that isn't serving you. Continue to relax the back of your neck. And bring your attention to your whole torso, the space between your shoulders and your pelvis, or your butt, if you don't know what your pelvis is. So where you're sitting. Feel that whole barrel of body that's from your shoulders to your pelvis. And just breathe and be there in that space between your shoulders and your bum. Those 360 degrees where all your organs are living, working for you. And with each breath that's naturally breathing for you, it's bringing oxygen into all of the cells in your body. Naturally, without any doing. And bring that attention down your legs. And if you're still stuck on your shoulders, that's totally fine. Just intend that you're connecting with your legs, and that will be enough for you. Feel your legs. Feel that space between your pelvis and your knees. Are they warm? Are they cold? Are they tight? Are they numb? It's just this curiosity, openness, non-judging. And feeling the space between your knees and your lower leg, your ankle, your knees and your ankle. And sometimes people feel buzzing, they feel the energy, they feel their blood flow almost. They can feel the heat from their blood moving almost. Like it's not literal. Again, the body, as we move into this module, is all about symbolism and sensation. And then feeling it's the feet, down into the feet. And just wiggle your toes and move your feet. And just again, the same thing, feeling them moving, but you're also giving the command for them to move. And when I do this, even though I do this all the time, I forget all the time too. I'm like, whoa, you know, this real childlike enthusiasm around I'm moving my feet and I'm feeling them move. And I think that's what babies do when they're like, whoa, my foot. And, you know, they look at it with like astonishment. And we lose that. Like, my feet are ugly or whatever. So just bringing presence to this miraculous living vehicle we've been given. Again, rehabilitating this relationship. Uh-oh. That's not you. My installation thing decided to come up. And that happens. So that's the body scan. And I just want to make another note about relaxation. Relaxation does not mean sleepy time. It just means a lack of tension. And I took a class. It was a type of body work called Traeger and the voice. That was when I was really into my singing. I was young at the time. And I remember that I had that same idea, like relaxation is like sleeping. Like, oh, relax. There's no activity. There's no activeness going on. So we avoid relaxation because we want to be productive. We want to get stuff done. But relaxation is just a lack of tension. So it's allowing, you know, there's a natural tension to my spine holding up my body right now, but it's not tense. It's naturally activated, In order to be fully in our body, and there's so many reasons to connect to our body and be in our body, as we'll see today, we want to allow relaxation to also be different. If we have that judgment that if I relax, I'll never get stuff done. If I am present, if I am peaceful, how am I going to get stuff done? And it's because you can be while you do. And I just wanted to say that because a lot of people get caught up with, I don't have time to relax. It's like, well, what if you had access to all of your intelligence systems while you're doing? It just makes more sense, actually. It's more intelligent. So there's the body scan, and it is that easy. You guys can do this on your own. It's just my head, feeling my head, my shoulders, feeling my shoulders. So I'm not special. It's nice to listen to like story time. I'm telling you how to do it and you're guided through it, and that's beautiful. But this is something you can just do. If you're feeling tight, if life isn't working, body scan. Always works, just like the heart breathing. All of these things work together. Okay, the three S's of body intelligence. I put self-judgment is boring, let's get over it. So we've gotten over the body judgment stuff. This isn't a class in body acceptance. This is a class in body intelligence. So we're going to get to the point. Senses. We connect to our body through our senses. I mean, it's kind of common sense, right? Like we feel, we smell, we're touching and feeling, you know, like taste. And when we're not present, I remember a friend of mine who had got burnt out in the corporate world, she actually wasn't tasting, she wasn't feeling, she wasn't smelling. Like she was so burnt out and disconnected from her body. She had no connection to senses, and she did this mindfulness retreat thing and was like, wow. So it can get that bad that you're so disconnected from your body, this magnificent vehicle that has so much to offer us, that you don't even anymore. So using your senses, and this will take time. When I do work with people one-on-one, I'm like, okay, so how do you feel in your body? And they'll say a thought rather than the actual feeling in the moment. So we can only feel and sense in the moment. So again, it's this other gateway portal into presence that is simple and easy, and the mind likes complicated and hard, and it thinks that's what makes things effective. But it's not. Simple and easy is good. And that's pretty much it. You feel senses in your body. Symptoms are basically an extension of your sensations, but they're the next step up. A headache is a symptom. Stomach garbling, a pit in the stomach, but also butterflies is a symptom. Like, you know, we can look at the word symptom as negative, but we can also look at the positive feelings too. So symptoms, for the most part, we're going to talk about the negative, meaning let's look at this. Your knee hurts. And instead of just taking a painkiller, we actually learn to, and we'll just discuss this briefly here, connect to the knee and feel and allow that body intelligence to talk to us. It can, it, you know, it might say something like, or does anybody have a pain in their body? And we could just do this live.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. This is Renee.
Hey.
My computer did something goofy, so I had to get on the phone, and now I can't see anybody or anything, so I'm talking out of turn. So if I am, I apologize.
You're good, because Layla was chewing, and she was like, me, but chewing. So, do your body. You, girl.
Sorry, Layla.
So, Renee, yes, what are you feeling?
Tailbone. My tailbone has been hurting a lot.
Tailbone, okay. So can I talk you through this? And this is going to show everybody how this works?
Yes.
Okay. So I want you to bring first, you've already done the body scan, bring your attention completely to your tailbone area and describe the sensations in your tailbone for me.
Okay.
Take your time and allow the information to sort of reveal itself. It isn't a thought, it bubbles up.
Mm-hmm. I'm crooked?
Crooked, beautiful. Crooked. And what does crooked feel like?
Hurts.
The pain, like hurts, is it like contraction or is it just like pain, like
it's pressure and pulling at the same time.
Pressure and pulling. Okay, so pressure and pulling.
Mm-hmm.
Crooked. And again, bringing your attention fully to that area. What are you noticing as you're bringing your attention fully to that area?
Get inflammation.
Okay, so, and what does inflammation feel like? Allow your mind to relax and allow yourself to feel the tailbone.
I'm trying. I get noise in the background.
If you did know what inflammation felt like, what would that be?
I got hot and itchy. I don't know why itchy.
Good. Okay. Do you see the mind judgment coming in?
Yeah.
That's why it's good to show people. So why is it itchy? Okay. Why is it not itchy?
Yeah, that doesn't.
Itchy is a neutral word to connect you to the intelligence. It's a communication. Okay. Mm. Crooked, itchy, inflamed. Okay, that was your mind. What does inflamed feel like? Itchy. Very different, isn't it?
Yeah.
So as we're connecting to that, and I'm just going to actually, can everyone else mute unless they're speaking? I just don't have access to muting you right now.
How do you mute?
So, Renee, as you're bringing your attention to this area, even if there's stuff going around, that doesn't matter. That's okay. Are you noticing anything? Are you noticing any feelings, thoughts?
I feel like it's more, like you said, my mind.
Okay. Okay. So, you know,
it's more my mind than my intuition.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. We can get caught up with these words that I'm going to call it your body intelligence, because we all have that. And we can get hung up on the word intuition and separate ourselves from being capable of doing that at times. But we can always feel a sensation. Right?
Yeah.
Like, technically, it's there to feel. So there's this real relatability around doing this work. So I can kind of feel like, I'm going to kind of jump around. So I was going to talk about medical intuition later, but since you're on here, and I want everyone to get a real sense of what body intelligence is, so significantly different, like different planet different than mind intelligence, than cognitive mind. I'm going to look up tailbone in my book, which I was going to talk about later. There's these books, the ones called, I'll put this all on the class, Your Body Speaks Your Mind, is a reference for body intelligence. Another classic one is Louise Hay, and she actually has a body one. And this was just the amount of people she was seeing was just seeing that, there tends to be repetition, you know? Just if somebody is chatting, I'm just going to check the chat. Oh, I can open the chat. Yeah, you can heal yourself. Exactly, Layla. You're putting that there. Layla's great because she's like the on the ball chick. I love having these different people here. I'm just going to look up tailbone in this medical intuition book. Now, I could take longer and sit with Renee and do a whole class and unravel and unfold and unpack what her intelligence is trying to say in there, but we have a limited amount of time. So I'm going to look up tailbone. And as we're doing this, Renee, what else are you noticing anything else?
Yeah, as I'm sitting here, it's like I can feel, I'm not sure what it is, but it's almost like I feel a line or a connection between like the end of my spinal cord where my tailbone is and up a little bit further where I don't know how else to describe it, like where my booty crack starts.
Where your boobs start?
No, my butt crack.
Oh, your butt. Okay, so it's kind of moving up.
Yeah, I don't know what the proper word is for that area.
You described it fine. Well, you can use whatever words you want. This is what happens, you guys. Is you are all healers. You are all healers. You are all connected to healing itself. Healers are facilitators of healing. They are helping you connect to the natural healing. A doctor doesn't heal your broken arm. The cast creates the conditions of healing that were already there. Mm-hmm. So what we're connecting to is your own ability to access your healing. And it's simple and it's there for you. And it does require this information. Like, this class is meant to teach you, it's just kind of moving. Now it's jumping up to my shoulder. Or not, you know, it can move all around. But if we go from our mind, we're done. It's not even going to happen.
Right.
So great. So you're doing it, Renee. Without doing it. Yeah. This is another book. This is actually, I think, out of print, Messages from the Body. Again, I'll put this all on the Facebook group, so don't worry about scrambling to write it all down. But you said the word crooked, Renee. tackle problems are being out of balance with themselves. They're holding on to self-blame or old pain, manifesting, they use weird words in this book, survival anxiety. There's an insufficient amount of self-love and a sense of not deserving to have safety and security. There might be shame as well. And it kind of goes on, and it's kind of confusing sounding, but those are kind of like being out of balance, lack of self-love, safety and security, feeling threatened, perhaps in that area. Does any of that sound familiar or pertinent?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Very much.
I'm not going to dive into your personal life on a public call, but that's something that then you go do the body connection, and then you weave the tools together, you guys, and then you go and write, allowing that flow, right? And your mind might come in and be like, blah, blah, blah. And then you just allow that flow again. So perfect. Thanks for playing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. And thank all of you.
Good. Then there's the subconscious mind here. And just out of curiosity, when you guys can see on the screen, can you see your screens too, or is it just my this guy? You're seeing everything?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. I can see everything, and that's how I want it. Because if I do this,
I don't even want to do it.
Oh, it works! Yay! Okay, next. All right, so moving you guys over. Now, can you guys still see yourself?
We can still see anyone who's in the chat, and if we pop up chat, we can still see everything.
But do you see it on my screen the way I'm seeing it, or do you see just the slides?
No, we just see the slides and whatever else we want to bring up. I think it's pretty independent.
Good. Okay, good. All right, to do something. Okay. So, I freaking love these little sense guys. So I already talked about senses. I think we're good on this slide. So again, Renee kind of judged, I even have the word itchy on here. But these physical sensations, like bringing it back to preschool, bringing it back to, my tummy hurts, you know, like, there isn't a lot of judgment about it. So feeling heavy, light, numb, burning, sensations, and it takes a while to reconnect to our body to re-allow the language to come out of itself. So we might say a word like wobbly, slimy, you know, we have to kind of let ourselves connect and just have patience, because these will happen. And it's actually quite fascinating. People will be like, oh, I felt my body say this. Awesome. Like, cause you're starting to connect. And this is what people say in yoga and all this stuff, that they talk about the word presence. Your body is that gateway to presence. You get in your body. You don't leave your body and transcend your humanness. You go in your body, and your body is pure energy. We're not going to have a course on that, but your body is pure energy. Your body is spirit. You're already spirit manifested in physical form. So the more you're in your body, the more you're actually in spirit. Something to think about. And your body doesn't speak English. I think that's a fun way to remember. It's like its language is sensations, symbolism, symptoms. If I met a Japanese person, I would not expect them or judge them for not knowing English. And the same way we will learn a new language, so many of us has disconnected from our body. We will slowly learn. If I went to Japan, I would learn that language by immersing in it, by starting somewhere. So have compassion while you're connecting. On the slide, if you guys are looking, it's a lot of information that you don't have to read right now. It's more for your benefit when you download the slides from the Facebook group. But I wanted to talk about stuff that is talked about, the right brain, the subconscious, presence, but my whole thing is like, what is that? The more you know, the more your mind gives you permission to engage with these new unknown things that are natural. So here we are, this Jill Bolt Taylor video that is on your Facebook group. I just took the transcript here, and what I'll do is I'll just read it for the call, and I'm just going to move the Zoom. Oh, I actually can't. I can't read it for the call because my chat box is in the way. Escape again. Okay. All right, human. Actually, does somebody else want to read it? Nope. You wanted to be talked to. I was like, does anyone else feel like talking? Our right hemisphere is all about the present moment. It's all about right here, right now. Our right hemisphere thinks in pictures and learns kinesthetically through our movement of our bodies. Information in the form of energy streams in simultaneously through all of our sensory systems, and then it explodes into this enormous collage of what this present moment looks like, what this present moment smells like and tastes like, what it feels like and what it sounds like. This is from her TED Talk. I am an energy being connected to the energy all around me and through the consciousness of my right hemisphere. We are energy beings connected to one another through the consciousness of our right hemispheres as one human family. And right here, right now, we are brothers and sisters on this planet here to make the world a better place. And in this moment, we are perfect. We are whole and we are beautiful. Very different than the left brain. Very different. That whole mind module is predominantly left cognitive mind. You don't have to know where that is. You don't have to understand anything about it except to know that there's these different ways of thinking and what you can do about it and when to use what. She goes on to describe the left hemisphere. Again, the same thing, categorizes, organizes, same information, but it's good to read the same information to, again, keep creating that evidence journal, keep creating that case that there's more to me than this one cognitive mind. And she does say at the bottom there, this is this me self that becomes separate. This is where that fragmented ego, me, what's in it for me, comes from. And when we reintegrate back into our whole, then we're not feeling not good enough and alone in the world and no one gets me and blah, blah, blah. So I want to talk about the right brain. So that's what that means. That's when people say right brain people are creative ones, but creativity is a human expression. It isn't just for artists. So there's a difference between being artistic and creative. You could be creative while you drive. You can be creative how you make dinner. We're all creative beings. Okay. And we all work with our right and left brain. So, this whole right brain, left brain, it's just more personality types and ways of being and what we've habituated. So I had to learn. I'm a Pisces and I had to learn my left brain. So I like use numbers and made things and put systems in place. And I have to tell you, it actually allows my flowy self. I've done these slides. Otherwise it'd be a hot mess babbling about all sorts of stuff that would be possibly very cool, but confusing at the end. So, I make my slides. So, right and left. You can also, a left brain person who's just more dominant in that area of number systems, correcting grammar and correcting all that kind of stuff. Like, that's a beautiful, beautiful way of being that I like to hire those people because I don't like doing that. And then we've got teams, right? We're one in how we come together, owning how we naturally show up. So don't be like, oh, but I'm left-brained. I don't know. That's not as good as right-brained people. Nope. All together, working it all together, owning who you naturally show up as. As I was doing these slides, I was kind of like, oh yeah, the subconscious mind, the conscious mind, the unconscious mind. Again, the slide has lots of words. Don't worry about it. All I want you to know, the conscious mind is what we're aware of here and now, what we have access to, what we know. I am a white woman in Canada. It's right there. You know, the subconscious is stuff that we can access. So Renee could access the word crooked. That was the subconscious speaking to her through her body sensations. Okay. And Jody on the Facebook group, was cute. She wrote, yeah, we have issues in our tissues, because she was at, a woman's show. She creates a bra alternative that is more comfortable and more loving to your body than like some bras are pretty ouchy. So there was something that she said, these women were really connecting to their bodies and like feel like there was emotion coming up through that connection to their bodies. And that's the subconscious mind. And it has so much information. It can hold so much information that you don't have to have right at your conscious mind. That conscious mind works best when we do clear the files. We do the brain dump. We do the clearing. We create the schedule if that helps us. We create a to-do list to get it out of our brain. Then you've got all the space. Then you have, I worked with a healer, and I might totally screw up this fact, but he said the subconscious mind can process a million bits of information per second. And the conscious mind, for some people, apparently I could do more than the average person's, like 3 to 5 bits. And then I was like, not to be like special, but he's just saying that's something that you have. And we can only take in, I mean, 1 million to anywhere from 3 to 9 parts per second that our conscious mind is meant to filter so we could be conscious and we can live on the planet. But the subconscious mind has all of this available. And then the unconscious mind is like the part that's beating my heart, the primitive instinctual, but also our kind of animal. It's like that homicidal part is in your unconscious. Like you don't actually want to kill that person, but you kind of do. And so it's just by embracing our human animal and our human being, like we can be, I mean, look at the TV, how animalistic we can become. So we're still animals, but we are beings too. And by embracing all of our parts, we can actually come from that center point and choose. So sometimes we need to embrace the homicidal maniac that comes out while we're driving to just let it move through us, as opposed to, oh, I'm not allowed to think that way and that way is bad, which jumbles it up and just creates more of a problem than a solution for you. All right. This guy, Peter Levine, is a type of psychotherapy I learned. And I myself went through some trauma. So it was interesting because I started off being an intellectual, thinky thinker person, reading and doing self-work. And I would go to counseling sessions and we'd talk. And actually, for the most part, they're like, yeah, you seem really fine. I'm like, there's so much shit going on. I'm like, okay, that's nice that you think I'm fine. I need help. Help me somehow. So this was a real quest for me to heal these parts that I felt needed healing. That was my body intelligence talking to me. I just didn't know what that was at the time. Probably my spirit too. So Peter Levine, again, more words than you need to know for this presentation today. More for you to read later. But he worked somatically. So there's soma, the body, kinesthetic. Don't worry about these words, in the body. That's all you need to know. As he, in a session, worked with this woman who had all of these symptoms that were trying to communicate to get healing, to get attention, of fibromyalgia, which is a chronic pain that I actually had when I was younger, panic attacks, and agoraphobia, so she couldn't leave her house. Those were symptoms. And in the Western model, we would treat the symptoms and miss out on the actual opportunities that they were trying to bring about for us. Not, there's a slide, I don't think I have it here, that your body doesn't mean to be a jerk. It's trying to talk to you. It's trying for you. for you. There might be something you would have an intention of, and then you have a body sensation. That body sensation is trying to talk to you, to help you, to educate you, to bring you somewhere, to, you know, that I ended up finding a healer that taught me when I was 16, Reiki and all of these healing things. So I started at a really young age because I had symptoms. So, you know, we judge these things as bad and wrong, but back to the mind one, it's neutral. Was it bad because I started to connect to healing? Maybe I was in pain. Okay. But is it bad? So his work is just another layer in this whole case of connecting to our body intelligence. He intuitively told the woman that there's a tiger and she needs to run away. And so she's like running and flailing and moving her body. And that was what needed to happen to release from the body what needed to be released. So and her body just did it. And he luckily was intuitive, like he was in tune enough to trust what was coming through him, even though he had never done this before. And he says in the book how he's like, oh my God, is this woman gonna go, like, what's going on? So, you know, but at the end of the day, millions have healed through his work because now he teaches therapists to connect to the body. And, you know, I studied with other psychotherapists that there's another form by Eugene Gendlin called focusing. So the moral of the story is use it, connect your body. He said his top advice, and I love this part. This was from a website. Peter's advice is to show up, be present, and shut up. Appreciate the role of the body. Oh, this is for therapists. Learn to be an embodied therapist. And so this is cool. If there's healers on here, you need to be in your body. You need to have access to your intelligence. Don't go all heady. I know this and I know that, and bites and stuff. Like, if you aren't being in your body, you're doing a huge disservice to your healing capabilities. Learn the basic skills of tracking and ground and helping your clients. Okay, so grounding and being centered. All of the same stuff that we're learning. It's a lot of information, guys. How are we doing? How are your bodies feeling? Chat, anybody can chat box because I can see it now. It's fantastic. You're taking it in. You're still like, good. You're not, brain isn't fogging over. Good. Okay, more information, and then we're doing an activity right after.
Oh, we have a comment here in the chat box.
I actually see that from Layla.
Okay, good. Great.
I know, I'm all like very excited that I have everything I need right now. And I have Tash, it's amazing. I'm wondering what the next step would be after feeling to the pain that hurts, part that hurts, would be to actually start a dialogue with it. Like, actually when we do the Q&A part, Layla, can you pop in and we'll do that in real time? Yep. I've said a lot of this already, but I want to really make sure that you can all walk away knowing what all the pieces are. So let's talk more about the subconscious mind, how it works in symbols. And we're also going to talk about the subconscious mind. Most people know it as subliminal messaging or hypnosis, which is true. You have access to that. But you also have access to it whenever you want, by connecting your body, et cetera, et cetera. Symbol and metaphor were made very popular by Joseph Campbell, who wrote The Hero's Journey. This type of being that usually artists, there's songs that we hear that just capture a feeling, and no one can quite say what makes that song so good. I studied music in school, and you know, it's mathematical, but the feeling, this accessing that people actually bridged into, a lot of musicians had that capacity, and poets and storytellers, and they're using metaphor, they're using symbol, they're creating that connection. So that's what we want to do with ourselves in our own lives. So using symbol and metaphor, Carl Jung pretty much revolutionized psychotherapy with also this concept of synchronicity. We're going to go more into that in the spirit section and collective consciousness and this, again, accessing the subconscious mind, this reservoir of intelligence to serve us. And, you know, the concept of a picture is worth a thousand words. And I put here, intelligence itself likes to be intelligent. Words have pitfalls. So symbols and art can transcend the mind and get right to the message. And when I studied dream therapy, like people have dreams and their dreams are working things out, and that really grew in my shamanic work and dealing with that of dreams. But dreams are all about symbolism. They're not literal at all. Like, right? Like riding a purple camel to go. I can't even cognitively think of the randomness that happens in dreams. But some person, we're back to interpretation. Spirit speaks your language. Your intelligence speaks your language. So your intelligence will speak to you in a way you will get. Maybe your neighbor doesn't get it, but say an apple, for instance, could mean the computer, but it could mean fruit to an apple farmer. It could mean money to an apple farmer, or it could be the sin from Eve. And like, if you know, the symbolism is just for you. I see that. I'm wondering what the next thing be after feeling. You're so Layla. I love you. We're going to get to all that, Layla. The pendulum, the body pendulum, I don't know, actually, that's in the Get Into It program. Maybe I'll give people that little bit. It's just another way to connect your intelligence, which we're going to do in the next little bit here, but thanks. So dreams. So then I was really mad with life and God, and I was just like, rawr, are things not going well? Like, a bunch of stuff fell apart in my life, and I thought I was on track, and I'm doing my purpose, and I'm doing everything right, and I was really pissed off. And I was like, all right already, can I just move on with my life and stop healing crap? And I got the message that I could heal in my dreams. Direct message. I'm like, okay, cool. So I would start planning that I wouldn't start until about 10 a.m. in my day mostly, or later, and I would just let myself dream. And I was like, game on, let's just heal in my dreams. That's cool. And it did, actually. I would wake up and all these emotions would have been moving, and I had done enough healing to surrender enough to allow the healing to happen without that controlling mind. My mind, so take it easy with this stuff. I'd worked on my mind a lot for it to start to surrender, and I'd worked on my inner trauma enough to feel safe to surrender. So this is one class, you guys. This is little snippets to help move you forward. But in those snippets, there's also this whole other world to go into. Again, there's the books on the authors. I'm going to move this. I think, yeah, that's the last bit. Okay, exercise time. So this is a fun way to access body intelligence called the Magic 8 Ball. And does everybody remember that ball that you shake and then this message comes up? I'm going to assume you do. There's a picture on the slide, and if anyone doesn't. This came up to me because I realized when I'm thinking, it felt like it was noisy and like a ping pong thing. Like, you should go work out. No, you should do work. No, actually, you should clean the fridge. No, you should, like, and it's true. Like, thoughts can go bang, 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 bang. There's a thought and then a counter thought, and then a counter thought to the counter thought. And that's what we think thinking is. That's the mind just doing its thing. The body intelligence, and actually the heart and the spirit, they all work together, bubbles up. It just like, bleh. Just bleh. So we don't give it a lot of stock because we didn't work really hard to get there. It's like, should I, there was an RV I was going to buy. I want this RV because I want to go and do a tour in the States and blah, blah, blah. And it was like really good price. I was like, oh, everything is right. Everything's good about this. And my mind was very convinced that this was a good thing. And my body was like, ooh, it was just like, no. And that's what happens is we get these little battles, but then we kind of have a little conversation with, okay, well, why? And then it turned out like I needed to think bigger. I needed to think grander. I needed to think more in alignment with what I really wanted as opposed to what showed up. And so we can intend, oh, I want an RV. And then it came, oh, that's my RV. Not necessarily. That's just showing you that it's on its way. So I didn't get it. I couldn't picture it in my driveway. And that was a real sign to me. So I didn't buy it and regret it and go through all that mess. So when you start to align with your body intelligence, you can save a lot of time and stress and headache by just knowing without needing data or information or evidence, but trusting your knowingness to avoid a bunch of crap. So the magic eight ball exercise is just this concept of bubbling up, having the message be what it is, clear, concise, not a lot of dialogue. That's it. That's what the magic eight ball exercise is. Does anybody want to be talked through this exercise so we can get a sense of what it looks like live?
Jenna, I just want to chime in here. So everyone, this is Tash. I just want to say that I've been through this exercise and I would highly recommend if you get a chance to test it out here, do it. Cause it's phenomenal actually when you see it in action. So just wanted to add that piece.
I can also just demonstrate myself doing it. If people are in the story time mode of receiving and they don't want to do anything. I ever at a workshop, I volunteer. Hey Layla. Okay. I can't actually see you, but can you say hi?
Hi.
Hi. There you are.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've done the body scan at the beginning, but then we did a lot of talking. I did a lot of talking. And that reactivates our cognitive mind. So I want you to just take a few breaths, and everyone can do this together, okay? And just breathe and come back to that place of feeling your breath and feeling your body. And you might notice, like, I just needed to do a little shimmy. And just let your body do what it feels like it needs to do. And that could be just perfectly still. And I want you to be aware again of your torso. Feeling that space between your collarbones, your shoulders, and your pelvis. And consider not a very complicated question, something that could be easily answered. Whatever that would be to you, like, so what I should eat this, or should I go to sleep at 9? Well, obviously not tonight, but stuff like that. That's something that's a little less intense of a question. And when you come up with that question, Layla, just let me know what it is that you want an answer to, that you want to just try this out.
I don't know if this is too complicated, but I was thinking, might be too complicated.
Just say it out loud. We'll see.
How do I feel healthier?
Okay. So I'm glad you did that because this is helping people see how they can craft a question. This we learned it through experience, everyone. So, okay. So this isn't exactly the magic eight ball exercise, but it's the same thing. So we're going to let the information bubble up. So I want you to ask yourself, Layla, what practices lead to health? for me. And see what happens. Breathe. Consider the question. And perhaps let's do one at a time, and then it will be more the magic eight ball exercise. This is like a quick answer exercise. So is yoga good for me? Is yoga in my highest? Might be an example. Or greens. Is Purium good for me? You know, people were, we had the green shake on there. Is there a few that you have in mind? Like,
Well, I know yoga is good for me.
But okay, so let's just do that. Mm-hmm. See your mind? Stop it.
Stop it, mind.
You're doing the activity. Well, I know it's good for me, but maybe let's just see what happens. Okay, so connecting to the body, feeling your torso, breathing, and feeling, is yoga good for me? Notice what happens.
I just got some chills, and I don't know why. I saw some waves, like something like that.
Great. So, but the, what was the sense, if you were to translate the waves and the chill into an English answer, what might that be?
Yes.
Okay. And that's different than, oh, I know it's good for me, yeah? More
yes.
Okay, good. Now we're going to try something that you know isn't good for you.
So I give you a question about something that I know it's not good. Is overthinking good for me?
Okay. So breathe. Feel your breath. Feel that space between your collarbones and your pelvis. What are you noticing, Layla?
I felt some like pressure here in my chest. Oh, you can't see me in my chest.
I actually can't see it. Yeah. Spell some pressure in your chest.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if that was to translate into an answer, what might that be?
No.
You know, what's intuitively what I got was like sometimes. Like your mind is a really big asset, but when it's overthinking and...
Yeah, the question was over, so that's why I got that. But I guess thinking in general would be...
The part of your mind that thinks wanted to make sure that you knew it was good for you.
So there you go. Thanks.
Spidey sense that picks up on those parts, but it's good to honor those parts where you're like, what's the body pendulum? You know, like your mind is inquisitive and it's like, what's that?
Yeah.
But you know, we're kind of, this is a big module, so I'm fitting a lot in. The body pendulum is a way of, let's just do it.
Well, you don't have to. It's just that I was reading your slide and I saw that and I found it interesting, but I can research after. I don't want to take too much time on that.
No. Everyone out here needs to learn how to receive and get their needs met, by the way.
Okay.
That's like an overarching thing that isn't just you, Layla. That you're like, oh, who am I to like talk and get my needs met and ask a question and have it answered and take time up? Who are you not to, right? Like, so... let's say I have this green shake, okay? I'm going to close it so I don't spill it on my white shirt. So body pendulum exercise is this simple. You hold it. It's an extension of the magic eight ball exercise. It's kind of interesting. So you would hold it and you'd normally stand up for it. But, oh, okay. No, you wouldn't hold it at first. You'd clearly, and then you'd ask your body, what's my yes? It's way better if you're standing. Okay, let me try it sitting though. That was my mind. So, what's my yes? Okay, it's still moved forward. And I'm going to ask it, what's my no? Yeah, and it's still moved backwards. It's more subtle than if you're standing. You like, when you're standing, you can kind of feel your body lunge forward when it's a really a big yes. and you can almost topple backwards when it's a big no. But you get used to it. You can feel the subtle energies. So I'm going to say, is this highest and best for me? And I'm holding it. So I don't even have to say, is this green shake? I have it here so my body can feel it. And it was a big yes. So my heart lunged forward. So it's just interesting to see your body directly talk to you. And there's a whole type of therapy and nutritionists, and they do this thing called biokinesiology. Big words, doesn't matter. It's using this body intelligence to use direct information from your body to determine the treatment. Did anyone feel that? Did they try it? Well, let's start. Did anyone try that? We have a bunch of listeners today. Try it at home. Let me know in the Facebook group. Okay. And then I do want to do some Q&A coaching. You need to be here to access your body intelligence. Relax. This is why you have all these tools. So then you start to actually use your tools intuitively. Should I journal for this or go for a walk? You know, and then it stops being about a million and one things to do. It's the thing to do right now in the moment that you're called to do. This will grow like any other skill, like learning Japanese. This will grow. So be easy, gentle, kind. Actually, I like when I do the slides and I do them and I know where people are going to go. Be aware of your inner critic that's saying, this is stupid, you can't do this, nah, 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 you think too much. Like, it's just a little chat box. Don't take it so seriously. Don't take it personally. It's just fear that you're going to make a fool of yourself. It's fear of whatever. It's just fear. Yeah, so these thoughts can really hijack your progress. And so just don't let them. Just let them exist. Let them say their thing and then get back to what you're doing. So be aware of that. Bring it back to sensations. Bring it back to the breath. Bring it back to being. Your mind's going to hate that and be like, this is dumb. And do it anyways. Quick thing about this whole, our body is this intersection between here, the earth, physicality, and being. Our connection to earth is literally what gives us life. Oxygen, water, light. We forget this. It's funny, but we do. And I call this the duh method. You're a living being. If you had a plant and you put it in a cupboard and you did nothing, it would die. It needs sun. It needs this. And it, you know, we know what we need. And so treat yourself the dumb method like a living being, like a living precious being. Water it, take care of it, nourish it. So, you know, sometimes you want a chocolate cookie, sometimes you have a green shake, not because someone said you should, but because it's nourishing your body. Being grounded, and this is a word that's thrown out there just as much as things like presence and these words that are just used. Being grounded means being in your body, being here, being in your body. Now I can say that, but we've been investigating what that feels like and experiencing that in this class. And I really want you guys to take this home and you're all in your homes, but you know, take it into your life and, you know, feel your body, like put your hands on your legs and feel your legs and just like, check it out. Like what do I need to do for it? Like sometimes I weightlift and sometimes I run and sometimes I do yoga and sometimes I go on my vibration plate. Like I've, you know, expanded the stuff that I now have because of the way it makes me feel. So start slow. Do I want to go for a walk or should I just sit here? And you'll feel your body kind of like a puppy. Like a puppy wants to go for a walk. Does your body puppy want to go for a walk? And feel that and give it that. And that's self-love and self-care and all stuff that everybody needs more reminders of. So our connection to the earth is what keeps us alive. We need to do it. And not only do we need to do it, it's great to do it. Feels good. It's, you know, go and lean against the tree and just feel underneath your feet and feel the soil. And not only are you feeling the soil, you're actually connecting to life and that tree, and the roots are going under and you're being held up and gravity's holding you together and the sun and all sorts of cool stuff going on. But not even thinking it, but feeling it. Practice feeling more. Quick fun exercise that most of you worked with me before, so they know about this, but find a rock or something natural. You don't have to do it right now, but the rock connects to the earth. We're connected to the earth. When something is overwhelming you, taxing you, you can blow it into a rock. And that rock is a representation, an actual direct connection to earth. And your essence, your breath, is can carry that energy. When shamans do healings, they use a lot of breath, actually burping and breath and all sorts of stuff. So hucha in Andean medicine, shamanism, is not bad energy, it's unusable energy. And I just wanted to make that comment because people are like, it's blocked, it's bad, it's blah, 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 and it's just stuck, unusable energy. So we want to use that energy. So if you have tension in your shoulders, maybe it, like, how can you release that usable energy that's now unusable because it's stuck in tension? It's a very different, much more loving way of looking at pain and symptoms. So yes, again, as we connect more to our bodies, we're connecting more to this connection to the earth, which then furthermore has more intelligence to give us. It's just very cool. That's a whole other class of connecting with nature and getting information. That's the deepening, which some of you already took. Last slide, I made extra slides, is to remember that we are human, we are precious beings, and we freak ourselves out a lot and expect ourselves to get over it anyways. This class is meant to bring up your resources to meet your challenge, which is this feeling of safety. Instead of dealing with it all alone, not having the support, doing it all alone, which is very inorganic, we don't exist without parents coming together. Like, we exist in a relationship world. We exist with everything. So to try to do everything alone just doesn't even make sense. It just doesn't. But, you know, we've tried and we've got our hearts broken and we trust somebody and then they didn't, you know. But as we connect to our own intelligence, we know who to trust and we can feel out where to go and we can know what to read and we can start trusting again. Because before, we weren't really trusting, we were just hoping. So we're reconnecting to what safety really feels like by connecting to our body and by all of these modules. It feels safe to know that you can connect to spirit at any time. It feels safe to know my mind is being a jerk. It's just a pop-up. It's not my thought. It's in the thought sphere. It's coming and it's going. You know, it feels more safe to just know that, to just know, oh, okay, I can go sit on the earth and let go of all of my stress and tension. You know, like it's just so awesome to start using these things. And I feel like they're so relieving. When we try to do it all in our head, we're doomed to fail. We're never meant to do that. And this is back to interpretations, looking at things neutrally. And safer tooth. I did a typo. Saber tooth. So our safety now isn't running away from a tiger. We have more than enough food. We have shelter. It's this fear of fitting in, being good enough, living our life purpose. There's a thing called the hierarchy of needs. Not to put too much information into you, but we're in a different place in our society where we aren't running away from tigers. We have agriculture, we have technology, we have all this stuff that basic need. Most people have homes, so that the basic need of survival, homes, shelter. We're now in more of a place of purpose. So we feel unsafe when we're not living our purpose. And it's that niggly, icky feeling that brings most people into my sphere of existence that makes them want to be on purpose. So I just wanted to say that this feeling of feeling safe is very precious on your healing journey to not freak yourself out, to not over read this book and do 60 minutes of yoga and do this. No. Small, doable things. Paying attention to your body. I'm giving you tools to use so that you know what to pick up when your body intelligence is like, oh, we need to process this anger right now. And it won't say that. It'll be like, and you can't even focus on anything and you're so grumpy and your face is all scrunched up. And you're, that's when you know to process the anger. So technically we have 5 minutes left. This lecture went longer, but we also did coaching throughout the lecture part. And I'd just like to know if anyone does have any questions or wants some one-on-one coaching at this time. And everyone just shake your body like a dog shaking off water. Doesn't that feel good? And if you feel done and you're like, yay, that was all I needed, that's cool too.
I guess that more than coaching, I just, like, you don't need to do it with me, but I was wondering, what would you do after, like, in the exercise of the tailbone? Because you said you would talk to it, so you would ask it questions, what it needs, I imagine.
That's it. I would, if your tailbone could speak, what would it say?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't have tailbone problems, but I was like...
But you can still talk to it, even if it didn't have a problem.
Okay.
Let's do that. If our tailbones could speak, what would they say? And let's just see. I don't even know. And it could be images. It could be sensations. I didn't talk enough about images. Actually, we get images too. So I heard mine.
Mm-hmm. I heard one.
Okay, can you share?
Go away. Get out of here.
Who needs to almost go away? Like,
can you hear me?
Yeah.
Sorry. Almost like run away.
Ah, that's what it's feeling. Like it wants to run away.
I'm not... Yeah, that's just the words that came to mind. I mean, that I was getting.
That's amazing. That's exactly right. And so because it's not literal, it doesn't mean run away necessarily. What then the next step? So Layla, this answers your what makes you want to run away? And then you would go to the next step. What can I do for you? And, you know, the next step. And
okay.
When I was learning psychotherapy, by the way, I remember watching my, they called it dyads, my teachers do therapy in front of the room. And I'm like, where are they coming up with all these questions? How do they know these questions? And now I know the questions, but you know, you will kind of go, okay, it's naturally curious. Like if your son or daughter came up and was like, oh, I want to run away. Well, why? It's kind of our right. Well, what can we do about that? And the answer comes. Mm-hmm. It's much like talking to a child.
Right. Okay.
Does that answer your question, Layla?
Yeah, thank you.
Good, okay. Good, no, that's great. Anyone else want to share what their tailbone has to say today? So mine said, first I saw a puppy dog tail wagging, like my tailbone was like wagging, which was funny. And then I was like, okay, funny, haha. And then I connected again. And it was just like, you're good. Like, you're good. Like this, there was this, you're good. And there was, it's like translating sensations, right? So because it's connecting to the earth too, right? Our tailbone connecting down into the earth and that kind of thing. There was a sense of thank you, like, thank you for connecting to me, which was cool too. We got any other comments, questions? Okay, well, let me just spend the next 2 minutes. We'll still end on time-ish to do another activation and just see what is coming through for you guys. Drumming. I'm going to play this drum, which connects us to our bodies. And to feed your mind with cool information, the drum, the shaman drum, is supposed to connect you to the heartbeat of the earth. So I'm just going to play it. I just want you all to connect your body. And if you want to get up and move, you can move. If you want to close, just do whatever. Okay. So the message is, welcome home. And another thank you to those on this call, connecting, opening, surrendering. And a piece of it receiving. Like, thank God you're finally receiving. Thank God you're not doing it alone. Like spirit, the spirit world is saying you're not meant to do it alone. Thank you for opening up to receive. And my whole body is very jittery, like activated. It's very interesting, actually. So if you're not already, let yourself, there's this energy coming through me to you, which is why I get all, like, my body feels like it's literally vibrating. And just let that come in, and it'll come in whether or not you think you're letting it in. Okay. So there's another message before we go of like coming to the table, like something like, thanks for coming to your seat at the table. Like, thanks for stepping into your worthiness, like stepping back into your truth of your worthiness and your intelligence and your connection and your magnificence. So there's like this real, like, like your seat coming to the table. Interesting. Well, if everyone is good, we will complete module 2.